The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, I'm Katrina Carolison from California, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 461 of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on today's show is Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, Michael. How are you?
In the middle.
Oh, really?
I'm in the middle.
Oh. We're recording this on the night of the Oscars, so I hope your favorite movie got Movie of the Year.
Oscar the Grouch?
I know what a big, yeah.
I love trash.
What?
That was good. That was a good imitation. I like that one.
I have no idea what that has to do with the Oscars.
I love trash.
Oh, okay. Oscar the Grouch.
That's my Frank Oz impression.
That's your favorite movie?
No, that's a song. It's kids.
Technically, it's Carol Spinney. It's the guy that plays
Bird
in Oscar.
Oh, Carol Spinney.
Yep.
But what does that have to do with movies?
It's a song.
You said Oscar. Whoever gets the Oscar, he said Oscar the Grouch.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Come on, Michelle.
Okay.
He's in La La Land.
Yes. All right. Okay, is somebody else on the show?
Yes, the one and only Christopher Eliopoulos.
That's it, Christopher?
He's like Madonna.
That was a pregnant
I'm Beyonce
pause.
Now. Just like Beyonce now.
How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing well, Michael. I got I'm moving up my training. I'm doing now 10 miles Saturday and Sunday each.
Wow.
Making my way to April for the Star Wars Dark Side.
Oh, wow. That's
right. So we're getting there.
Six, 7 weeks away. Wow.
Yeah. That's awesome. You had great weather this weekend, too.
Actually, we do want to do a little shout-out, don't we, Michelle, for those who did the...
Yes, I did want to do a shout-out to those who did the princess, including special friends of the show, Deb Wills and Linda...
Eckworth.
Thank you. Oh, my God. I had to bring Linda Eckworth. And also... Eddie McCoy and his sidekick, Phil, Phil Vanderpool, came in second and third in their age group.
Yeah.
Nice job.
Very, very cool. So, yeah, that's awesome. But everybody who was out there doing the princess, congratulations. It looked really fun. It's one of my favorite races.
Congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Regarding a tip, I have sort of, I was going to give two, and I'm going to give one. The tip I want to give everyone is that if you happen to be at the Disney Hollywood Studios and you're going to watch Star Wars, The Galactic Adventure, I think that's what it's called, the best place to stand is right in the middle of the Great Movie Ride as you're looking onto it. And the best way to figure out where to stand is to look where they put the tape. And you want to stand at the very end of that tape area because they tape it off so that people can walk. So if you're standing so that the tape is behind you.
Like your heels are on the tape.
Your heels are on the tape and you're right in the middle of Hollywood Boulevard. That is the best place to see everything and hear everything. So that's my tip.
Yeah. Kristen, you have not seen that yet.
Not yet. Oh, I will see it when we're down there in April.
I want a full report.
Yes, ma'am. You got it.
You may want to see it twice.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So fun.
I plan to.
Cool.
Oh, let me give one song before we go.
Oh, yeah.
Since we gave away the secret that tonight is the Oscars that has already passed. It's also a sad event in that Bill Paxton passed away, and I used to – I loved him as he played Chet, the brother in Weird Science. So Weird Science from Oingo Boingo is on my playlist.
It was a surprising loss today. Yeah. All right.
All right. So, Michael, so what are we doing tonight,
this morning,
or whenever anybody's listening?
It's been like 4 or 5 years since we've done questions, and we've just had so much to do and talk about that we haven't gotten around to doing questions. So tonight we're going to take a shot at trying to cut down on the pile of questions, and some of them we apologize because it's been so long and some of them may seem a little old, but I think the answers that the questionnaires are looking for are going to help them down the road.
That's what happens when we put Matt Hochberg in charge of the questions, huh?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Oh, boy.
That's right. It's Hochbergitis with these questions. So we're going to ask Chris to ask the first one.
All right. Our first question comes from Jeff, who asks, I love your show and hope you have an answer to this. I am staying at Shades of Green during the Dopey. I am wondering if it would be better to walk to Polynesian 10 minutes away for the monorail or take the bus. This is for pre- and post-race.
Oh, Jeff. Please accept our apologies. We hope you had a good
Dopey.
We're
a little late for this one, but...
All right.
But hey, on the next Dopey, you never know.
Yeah.
So, Michael, what do you think? Staying at the Shades of Green Hotel?
First off, Jeff, I am not sure if it's a 10-minute walk. It's going to be in the dark. I don't know if there's a safe way of walking there. I would...
Where is the Shades of Green again?
Shades of Green is...
In relationship to the poly... I know I've seen it, but I don't remember.
Shades of Green, I believe, is a little bit past... it's a little bit past... as you come out of the Polynesian, you take a... You know how you would take a right to come out of the Polynesian to go to, let's say, Epcot? You take a right to get back on World Drive or whatever. You take a right, and then instead of taking a left, you take another right. I think it's up that way. I just think it would not be safe... you know, like we have always said, for any of the races, regardless of what you hear, play it safe and try to get on that first bus. I'm always going to, you know, say that that's the best answer, the best thing to do, because yeah, you may get there early and you may be sitting around, but wouldn't you rather be there early, 5, 10, maybe 15 minutes early than 5 or 10, 15 minutes before the race?
You make some excellent points. And as you were speaking, Mike, I was thinking that I've never heard people, I know a lot of people who have stayed at Shades of Green, but I've never heard people typically say, hey, I'm just going to walk over to the Poly and, you know, with their family or whatever. So I just think that there's probably a reason for that. So I definitely would save your feet, save your legs, get on the bus.
Yeah, pretty sure the Reedy Creek people want you to take the bus.
Yeah. Be cautious.
Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, no, plus you got to remember the idea that he's going to be walking at like 2 o'clock in the morning,
right,
in the dark streets of, you know, and who knows what the buses are doing. You know, it's not the safest thing to do. I would play it safe, get downstairs early. And plus, you know, you never know, like the Polynesian might be super busy with people. Like it depends on the hotel. Like we stay at the Yacht Club and usually we get nobody at the bus in the morning, but they stop then at the Beach Club and the line goes all the way back to the hotel. So you can never tell which hotel is going to have a smaller crowd. So stick with yours and maybe get a few minutes early.
Write us and let us know, Jeff, what happened.
All right. Next up.
The next one is from David Gramling. And he says, love the show, exclamation point. My question is, why doesn't Disney offer a medal for lifetime Dopey finishers? In 15, I did the 10K. And in 2016, myself, my wife, and my kids, and three grandkids did the 5K. In 2017, I'm going to do the second half marathon. In 2018, my first full marathon. So lifetime Dopey, right? I hope to see you in January. Thanks. And this David is from Green Valley, Missouri. So, Chris, what do you think? Should they do a lifetime Dopey medal?
Look, it would be nice if they did that. You know, I mean, if you do it coast to coast, you get a medal. But I would think the logistics of this would be really difficult on the Disney people trying to figure out when people have done these races over the years. I mean, you know, you go back how many years? 25 years for the marathon. You know, at what point do you, you know, apply so much money to that logistics of trying to track people down and make sure that they are? Because how many people? I mean, people are going to sit and say they've done, you know, all the races and now they deserve a medal. So, I think it's hard logistically on Disney at this point, but I would think it'd be a nice thing for people. Again, you want to get people running at their events, there'd be a nice way to go. Mike?
What do you think, Mike?
Don't they have some kind of a legacy thing? I remember Michelle, when
but
we
he's did... saying he's doing one race a year. He's doing one race. He's not in the order of 5K, 10K, but he's in the past 4 years.
He's run the cycle, but he's done it over different years.
Right. So he wants. He's wondering if he should have a medal for that, a special dopey medal.
Oh.
Not a legacy. I've done dopey for 4 years.
Oh.
Every marathon every year or whatever.
Then I agree with Chris. I mean, I think that it's so hard to keep everything straight, all the registrations and everything. I think that's just one more. A wrinkle that would be very hard to keep track of. And, I mean, I'm sure they could if they really wanted to put their mind to it, but would it be a win-win situation? Because,
and with all due respect, David, I think that part of the thing about dopey is that it's an extreme endurance event, and it's not just, I mean, it's, when I say just, it's not just, but it's not just doing the races, it's doing them 4 days in a row, the getting up in the morning, the training that's involved in doing the dopey is a whole different thing than if you only did the marathon. And I've done both, so I know that it is, you know, it's very, very involved. So we're going to give you a virtual high five, but I'm not sure you're going to get a dopey medal from Disney or from Michelle. Mike?
The next one is a letter from Rebecca Carter, who says, MM peeps, I just want you to know that the last... Boy, this is
old.
Back. Yeah. Just wanted to let you know the last two podcasts, how dare you split them up when I was hanging on Chris's every word, were super fun and entertaining. I appreciate Chris giving us the details of his Seth Meyers adventure, including how long the night was, how nervous he became once his wife reminded him not to be nervous, and how he can now understand how fame can get addictive. His candor and enthusiasm were impressive. I love the show. Went to look at your website, and it looks like it could be updated, if only to include Chris on the page of the contributors. Thanks for providing a great podcast. Yeah, it's been like years since
we have not looked at that.
So,
Am I not on the page?
Yeah, we turn to Chris. So, Chris, your comments on this letter.
You're going to have to wait for the next show.
Yeah, we're going to break it up. Yeah.
Part two, thanks. Of Chris's
Rebecca's letter.
No, I totally appreciate it. You know, it's definitely a more part of the Mickey Miles and More. And I was kind of questioning whether or not anybody listening to the show would care whether or not I was on a TV show. But it was fun to give everybody sort of an insight as to what I went on to. But I'm kind of disappointed that I'm not on the website. That's what I took away from this letter.
Well, that's
so
good, because if you want a job, Chris, you can update.
A web designer.
Very, very lucky to have the Vanderpools helping us for a long time on the website, and they just got too busy, and we have to pick and choose what we can update, and we're just.
So I'm not important to this podcast, is what you're telling me.
No, you can go ahead and update it, pal.
All right,
we'll talk. We'll put you in charge of it. When you're,
I'm a famous star. Don't you know who I am?
You'll be in the green room if we need you.
If you need me, I'll be sipping cocktails in the green room waiting for my close-up.
Sing a song.
You and Bob.
Yeah. Me, Bob, and Seth are going to go hang out together and drunk at the bar. Oh, well.
All right.
Time for the next one?
Yes.
This one comes from Joseph Ficus. Jokas Ficus.
Yeah.
Who writes, Dear Chris, Michelle, and Mike, in an attempt to bring some post-election cheer to a few of my favorite podcasters, see, this is an older question, let me point you to a breakdown I've created of Walt Disney World Run Disney race numbers. Who doesn't like a good spreadsheet even at the time, the best of times? And then he gives us a URL that we can probably post on Twitter or Facebook at some point. I decided upon the Google Docs version, so anyone wanting to see the data doesn't have to download or open a separate file. Basically, with Wine and Dine finished and all the races at WDW done for this year, I have collated all available statistics regarding Run Disney races at WDW and have laid them out in one, hopefully easy to read document. I know that you have been talking about numbers a lot recently and thought that you would like to see how those from this past year compared to those of previous years. The document should be pretty self-explanatory, with the first couple of columns containing totals, followed to the right by the race-by-race breakdowns, some notes, some of which are duplicated on the spreadsheet. Cells highlighted in green indicate the inaugural races in the series. If a race has been discontinued, the last instance of the race is highlighted in red. You may notice this gets a little wonky with regards to Race for the Taste and the Disney 10K Classic. This is because Run Disney shifted back and forth between the two races between 2003 and 2005. Also, as you know, Run Disney does not time their 5K races, and as all of my data is culled from results, there's no published data containing 5K race numbers. The only exception is the Expedition Everest Challenge, and that data is included. While it would be interesting to see a breakdown of individual 5K races, I would think that the percentage change from year to year would broadly correspond to that of other races. Next, there is a little data online for races before 1999, so there are some gaps for the early years. I believe that I have everything since. Wow, that was a lot of work. No? Mike?
I'm looking at the I was looking at the spreadsheet while you were talking, Chris, and this was a labor of love. Joe really had to spend a considerable amount of time doing the research, putting it together, and it's really an interesting I want to call it an interesting read, but if you look at the spreadsheet, you can see how popular the Run Disney brand became and how each different race or event, whatever you want to call it, grew over a period of time. It's really, really impressive. Nice job, Joe.
So are we going to share that?
We will.
We could throw it up on our Facebook page.
Yeah, definitely. So Joe is American, but he lives in the UK, and I think if not for that, he might get a call from Run Disney to do their stats, because it is quite impressive. A lot of work. Wow. That's amazing.
10K Classic. I used to do that. It was a long time.
Wow.
Look, see? Look how... Race for the Taste. Look at that. Whoops.
Yeah. Now, these are... I mean, and the numbers he called... You know, it's hard, because Disney is not very giving in their numbers, obviously, except for the race finishing, but just imagine what he could do with some other real numbers from Disney.
Yeah. All right. We're ready for the next question. Thanks, Joe. We'll share
Thanks,
that.
Joe. Appreciate it.
Okay, the next letter is from somebody in the travel industry, and they were able to share with us some information they found about trip insurance. Here goes. Hello, Mike, Michelle, and Chris. I was listening to your recent show where you again discussed the Run Disney policy of no deferrals and refunds for races. You had mentioned how some races, non-Disney, offer a race insurance, but it's up to the individual race to make that available or not. I book lots of Disney vacations, and many clients do opt out the travel protection that Disney offers in their vacation packages. And I always strongly suggest adding the protection. When people don't take it, I always feel like we are in Vegas standing at the craps table rolling the dice. Anyway, I wanted to look further into the coverage with the Travelex insurance. They do not cover anything outside of your Disney package, room, food, tickets, air. Even if the air is not booked with the package, it's covered. Okay, they do not cover it. So there are many, many more things covered that are associated with vacation. Rental car issues, personal car breaks down on the trip, lost or stolen souvenirs, but not the race registration. That being said, I looked into another outside company that we use. It's called Aliens.
Alliance.
It looks like Alliance. This is a great third-party company that we... And I'm going to spell that out. It's Allianz. This is a great third-party company that we use for many different kinds of vacations. I called and talked to their agent. If you get the insurance through them, the cost of the race is factored into the total cost of the vacation, and because it's a non-refundable cost, it is covered. And I can tell you that their prices are very reasonable. There are many different levels of coverage and refunds. For example, a classic plan would cover things like illness, loss of job, injury, etc. for 80% of the trip cost. Loss of job. There is a step up that is a little more expensive, but you have to... You have a cancel for any reason clause when it gets that gets you 80% of the trip cost. Normally, when I have someone who needs to cancel a trip, I try to get them to change the date so they don't have to lose any money with Disney. But what I didn't think to ask is if they can put in a partial claim and just claim the cost of the race registration if they're able to change the package to another date. So, I can promise you that I will definitely recommend this to all my clients who run Disney events. All right, so, Chris or Mike, what do you think about that?
I'll let Chris go first.
Chris, oh, that was a long one. Do you do trip insurance?
I don't use trip insurance. I guess I should. No, that's not true. We use it for our flights. We always buy when we book our airfare. We get the insurance on the airfare. I don't know.
I've only done it for traveling internationally. When I travel internationally, I usually get trip insurance.
Do you?
Yeah. I don't know why, but like why I wouldn't for other trips, but.
Yeah,
I think the reason for me is I do it piecemeal. So I do the, not that it should make any difference, but I do the flight and then I do the hotel, you know, from booking myself.
Right.
And I have done it for cruises too. That's true.
Yeah, I mean, any safety factor, you know, especially when you're talking about the run to see, it irks me that you have to do something like that where you need to go outside of, you know, Disney to do this, but. You know, I mean, if you feel like you might, there might be a chance that you're not going to be able to get on or you're not going to be able to race, maybe it's a good deal for you.
What if you wanted to go, but you sprain your ankle or something 2 weeks before?
Right.
You could still kind of technically do the trip, but you wouldn't be doing the race.
My wife did. She broke her ankle a couple weeks before the race. We still went down there. She just couldn't go in the race and had it deferred. But also in the letter they said they didn't ask about having just that taken as opposed to the whole trip. So I wonder if somebody would sort of do that, like a line item veto, you know?
Like, I don't know, but we do appreciate the time that this person took to send us this information. Yeah. And hopefully,
Mike, what would Mike do? Yeah. I don't even know what Mike would do.
You know, Chris, MD. I think that when you're talking about a family vacation and you're spending a considerable amount of money and, you know, you do a lot of planning and everything and you just want everything to go well, I think that it makes sense to take out some vacation insurance because we're talking about a lot of money. As an individual, I never have.
You used to take some 2 week vacations, right? 2 and 3 week vacations.
Yeah,
And you never did trip insurance?
We drove down.
Okay.
So number one.
Yeah, but what is that?
I don't know. Just what I don't know.
Okay.
But
I think that
Michelle's comment about international travel. Again, we're talking. I think it comes down to how much money you are investing in this vacation and what the threshold is for you as far as, you know, what you really need for a peace of mind in case something goes wrong and you all that money goes away. So I think that it's an individual money threshold thing for individuals, and depending upon, you know, what that limit is, they will or will not go for insurance, you know. Vacation insurance, but
I'm going to disagree. For me, it's laziness. I think it's just lazy. Yeah. I mean, I don't think any of us can afford to throw away money. It's just that I just don't even think about it, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, we want to thank that individual. Yeah. We needed to protect that individual's.
Do you both really think about trip insurance?
Identity. I don't.
No.
I don't.
Yeah. No. So, like I said, my wife does the booking of the airfare, and she always gets the insurance on that one, but. Disney is pretty good about their vacations. If you have to cancel for certain reasons, obviously they keep the money, but you can rebook your trip to another time. But
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. But
all right, she said, and that takes care of part one of our 2-part question extravaganza as we try to catch up with our question mailbag. So for Chris Iliopoulos and for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying, we will see you on the road and in the parks.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. If you'd like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.